It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. And today we got Tom Maloney sitting in for Sharon Jackson.
What's going on, Chef Nick?
Oh, nothing. We're going to have, you know what? Today, I won't have to say anything because our guests are going to carry the show. I'm going to actually put up my hammock, eat some of this pizza and some of the stuff, you know, that I brought in, and just take it easy and let them just talk about farms and breweries and hops and
you got room on that hammock for me? I might need one after a couple of sips.
Yeah, we've been sipping. They're all good.
They are all good, yes.
So you enjoying your afternoon?
I am. And, you know, I time shifted today. Sharon is out, and a familiar voice is going to be on All Things Considered today. His name's Dallas Milligan.
Yeah, that's right, Dallas. What's up, Dallas?
How you doing, guys?
Dallas good? Is in the studio as well, partaking some of the sips as well. Dallas,
wait, Dallas, are you 21?
I'm 24.
Oh, he's a big boy now. He's grown up, Chef Nick.
I saw a little bit of whiskers there.
Yeah, he's
this is a month without
shaving. Mine's only like 2 days, so
there you go.
I just shaved today, so.
Well, Tom's got a baby face.
Yeah, anyways. I got the baby face again. But Dallas, for the listeners out there who might be wondering, who's Dallas? Well, he actually does the scoreboard updates for game night.
Right.
So the dulcet tones of Dallas giving you the updates in the fall every Friday night. So he will be taking over the reins of ATC this afternoon, and Sharon will be back next week, so Dallas is in for Sharon today. So
Dallas, you try, you know, the 150 beers that were brought here?
I just had the French toast beer because that totally piqued my interest.
The French toast beer, okay.
And that was the most amazing thing I think I've ever had.
It's the there most amazing thing he's ever had. Dallas, you're only 24. Give it a couple more years.
Well, that was so good. It tasted exactly like
French toast.
Wow, there you go. It shocked me.
Yeah. So we want you, the callers, the listeners, to call in 769-9577. 769-9577. We have two special guests here today, and we're going from hops to taps.
I like it. It's like farm to table, but
a little bit better.
With the real stuff. With the things you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of filling your belly, you know, you got to feel a little buzz when you're done.
There you go.
There you go.
Either way, you're going to be happy.
How are we going to get there today?
Well, Nick, for those listeners out there who I haven't told anybody this, but I was hit today on my way to work. I was at Route 30 and I-65, headed to work, and I got bumped by a lady. She says that her foot had slipped off the brake pedal. You know, she's okay. I'm okay.
Is she
car's
not an NPR
okay.
fan? Is there something going on?
You know
here?
What? She probably saw my NPR nerd sticker on the back of my car. Maybe, I don't know. So I figured, you know what? We should probably not drive there.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't have my commercial pilot's license. I'm not a pilot. Sharon has a whole bunch of hours logged to be an airplane pilot. Yeah. She can fly. It's too cold for the hot air balloon, mm-hmm. right? Thought about using a train, but that's actually going to be in part three. It's going to be the train. You're wondering the part three for what? We're actually going to be cruising in style in a DeLorean today.
That's really nice. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
Go out to Crown Brewery.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
We don't need roads.
No, we don't.
Because you know what? The roads are all colored now anyways. There you go.
There we go.
Who is driving? Is this like an automatic pilot or something?
Yeah, it's a Tesla. Or, you know, it's a
Tesla.
They went to the future to get the self-driving car to take it back to the future.
Well, that means if we go to Crown Brewery, are we going to meet Dillinger?
We might, but either way, we don't have to drive.
We don't have to drive.
The car is driving for us right now, so that's the beauty of the flux capacitor, Nick.
The flux capacitor. Well, let's start flux capacitating. I don't know how you say it.
Capacitoring?
Yeah, we're going to...
Something like that.
Right over to Crown Brewery, we're going to talk with Steve, which is the master brewmeister over there at Crown Brewery.
And hello, Chef Nick.
And we got Steve Howe from Howe Farms. And today we're going from basically hops to taps.
We sure are.
And Steve Howe, we'll just call him Howe.
Life easy.
Yeah, makes it real easy. Is the one that supplies the hops.
Not some of the hops.
Not all year round, but how far does it get you through?
Well, actually, starting this year, we're now incorporating some of Steve Howell's hops in all of the beers that we brew. Now, that doesn't mean every single one of our beers is going to have all of his hops in them. But every single batch that we do are going to have some of his hops in them.
So how you're, like, touching each brew. You're not the total brew, but you got your hops are in some of them.
Correct. Yes.
And what's the reason for that? Why don't you just designate, oh, I'm going to make this batch just out of house hops?
Well, we actually do that as well.
Call it whatever you want as long as you're buying the beer.
Go ahead.
No, we do have some beers throughout the year where we'll do nothing but his hops. Mm-hmm. One of the most popular ones was featuring his cashmere hops, which are really a neat hop that has almost like a cedary woody note, but also
danky melon
and melon and fruity too. Mm-hmm. That's a really popular beer for us. Mm-hmm. But he has now been growing hops for how many years?
5 or 6.
So it takes a number of years for hops to get established and actually produce cones.
Okay. That are, so they're like grapevines.
Yeah. It's the same kind of deal.
Yep.
So why don't you know, full disclosure, okay, yeah. Everyone out there in Radio Land, listening here on Let's Eat, we have had some beers today. So I want everyone to realize that we had some beers and we were having a good time. We had some food. So if I stumble a little bit, it's just because of...
It's the time warp from the DeLorean.
Yes. Well, that's what it is. There's one called Nuclear Possum Pale Ale.
That may
have something to do with the flux capacitor.
Yeah, all right. That's right.
So can I backtrack really quick? I got a DeLorean. I guess I can go back anytime I want to. A lot of Back to the Future references. Sorry, folks. So when you talk about different flavors, how do you make a different flavored hop? I would just assume that all the hops are like these little green pellets that I had in my make-at-home beer kit kind of a thing, but sure. That's not the case.
They're all different varietals. So you have these different varieties all giving different flavor profiles. And then, you know, we grow them, we harvest them and everything, mm-hmm. but then to get to the pellets – we go from that into a dryer, into a pelletizing machine, you know, gas purging and Mylar bags and all this good stuff to get to that pellet itself.
Yeah, okay.
And every single variety is going to have a different flavor profile. And then, you know, where it's grown matters. It's going to change the profile a little bit, the climate every year. You know, I can grow something here and the same thing can be grown in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and it's going to be slightly different.
Interesting.
Just based on, you know, climate.
Much like grapes again.
Exactly like grapes.
Well, let me ask you this. Can hops be used in any kind of food dish, or is it strictly a beer item? Like, have you ever heard of anything like, you know, with hops in it?
So they use some of the hop shoots that mm-hmm. are early in the year, the ones that are below the ground. They will use those kind of like an asparagus, especially mm-hmm. in Europe. It's a big deal. Very expensive item, like thousands of dollars a pound because they're very hard to get.
Yeah.
But here in the United States, it's not something that you
not
normally
so much.
See. Now, you'll see it in things like because it's a natural, you know, antiseptic and, you know, all these different things. You'll see it in things like lip balms and you'll see it in things like
have
shampoos.
You ever seen a lip balm? I never knew that.
I've not.
No. I've never heard that.
Back in the old days, Nick, they used to sleep on hop pillows because they thought they were naturally sedative and relaxing.
I wonder how they went from that to saying, hey, let's brew it and let's give our beer the flavor.
Well, natural preservative.
Hops are a natural preservative.
Right. It's not all about flavor.
It's mostly about flavor. Uh-huh. Like back when they were trying to discover different things to – so hops add balance to the sweetness of the wort or the malt that's in the beer. So it's malted barley.
Okay.
And it's a very sugar-rich liquid still. And you need something to balance that. So by giving it bitterness – and they tried many different things throughout in the olden days, mainly like pine and different spices. And this was something called gruit back then.
Mm-hmm.
But when they finally discovered hops, which were wild growing at the time. Then they started to cultivate them and grow them in controlled conditions. And the varieties have sprung immensely. There's, a couple hundred different varieties of hops these days?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, and again, they're still found wild in places.
Yeah.
Well, how many varieties do you grow?
We grow 4 or 5.
Okay.
So we always have one kind of changing. You know, you learn like this one's not growing well in our region,
mm-hmm.
and we'll switch out for things that do and things that, you know, brewers want. You know, I try to take as much from them as I can. You know, yeah. if there's yeah. something they're looking for, a flavor profile, I can try to match it up with things we know grow well in the Midwest.
Interesting.
Folks, you're listening to Let's Eat on 89.1 FM. And we have Steve from Crowd Brewing, and we have Steve Howe from Howe Farms. And what's interesting about Steve Howe, his farm is just not all hops. They have Correct. A lot of other items on there, and he's sort of got an interesting background, too. I mean, if you look at him right now, he looks like the brawny guy on the town. I would not want to meet him in a dark alley, but I would want him to help me chop some wood. Tell us a little bit about your background and what else your farm offers. I mean, if you go on your website, very good, very nice website.
Thank you.
It shows
a lot. My sister
made it. Yeah, it shows a lot, and it's very, you know, it's a little hidden gem, just like Crown Brewery is, or was. Now you guys are becoming a little bit more big time, but it's a little hidden gem in Lake County, Indiana that people don't even think about.
Yeah, we've been very lucky. The community has supported us from the get-go in ways we never imagined. So my wife and I were both teachers in Schererville. So I was a teacher for 11 years. About 6 years ago, we started the farm, and it started in just hops. That was the main goal. And as things came up with different food items with, you know, our daughter's allergies and my wife's allergies and things like that, we began to ask, well, why do they do this in farming? Pastured meat became the next thing, and pastured pork is our main meat entity. So rotated on pasture, corn and soy free. We try to provide, you know, or raise the highest quality, healthiest you can get.
So you were saying when you say pastured, it's not like they're a pastor at a church. What they're doing is grazing, right? Grazing
Correct.
Free.
Correct. So, I mean, free there range. Are there are that's, fences.
That's, I know.
But we rotate them through pastures. Uh-huh. I plant specific things for specific reasons. You know, ours, you know, we want a pig to be a pig.
Right.
You know, there's no, you know, we don't even have barns for them.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have huts they can go in out of the weather if they want. They have babies in those huts. They have, you know, and they're going to rotate pasture to pasture, and they're going to dig up turnips, and they're going to eat clover, and they're going to live. You know, we always say we want them to have one bad life, one bad day in their life. One bad life? No, one bad day in their life. You know, that's one of those things like, man, we'd all love to have that, yeah. You know? So yeah, we do that. We do chemical-free produce, honey, maple syrup.
Yeah, what kind of what do you just like when springtime comes? You just like say, boom, we're just going to do this produce, or do you have set produce every year
yeah,
so people
we
use
do.
It? What do you use and grow?
So we all your staples of tomatoes and cucumbers mm-hmm. and you know different peppers and things like that to a bunch of different herbs and flowers and everything else. So we have a farm stand. On farm,
right.
Open like May to October normally, that we sell all of this. We also have a CSA that we do that just sold out this week.
And that's for this upcoming season.
Correct.
So for
correct.
Anybody else who wants
we
to.
We will still have items in the store.
Okay.
So we're only open on
you know,
Sundays.
You have a connection, though. Don't worry about it. You'll get what you want.
Okay. All right. I know a guy. I know
you
a
know,
guy.
You know somebody.
You know where we're at. You come out and pick some. You can take some home, you know.
Wait. I want to hear back really quick about mm-hmm. the honey.
Yeah.
This weekend, the honey growers are all meeting, or honey farmers are meeting, bee farmers, I'm sorry. The bee farmers are meeting in Indianapolis for the mandatory yearly meeting thing. And
is there some, like, now you got to have regulations to grow honey or anything like that? I think I heard something about
I don't
us.
Know, but yeah. So what can you tell us anything about the honey? The bees just show up and you got honey one day? Or
I will not lie. I have a wonderful wife that takes care of those bees.
Yeah, really?
Because I am going nowhere near them. Every
okay.
time I do, I get stung.
All right.
And if I just drive a tractor near them, they're going to sting me.
So best to stay away.
I stay away at all costs. I will drive around them with the four-wheeler.
Yeah.
I will make a complete, you know, 180 around the farm the other way. Just so I don't have to interact with them.
Now, do you let people graze on your property?
People don't graze on them, but the animals do.
Yeah.
But no, if you know people that are willing to graze, I'm interested in something new here in Northwest Indiana.
But
now,
you allow them out there?
Yeah, we do. So we're open Sundays 11 to 3, and we do tours. We
okay.
are completely
you have tours.
Oh, constant. We are a completely transparent farm. So we don't want questions. This is your food. You better ask. You know, we want you to see the good mm-hmm. and the bad. And we want you to walk around and see. And I'll point out the bad. My kids, they do the tours as well. You know, they will point out the bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the next time you come, let's see what we've done to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want an open dialogue. Secrets are the worst thing. You're putting this in your body.
Yeah. So Steve.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Crown Brewing has been around for, this is our 12th year of
Steve,
operation.
Steve is my master brewer, my personal friend.
Well, thanks for inviting me again, Nick. This is my seventh or eighth time, I want to say, doing the show.
He's like the best guy. You know, I mean, you can always see him. You know, if you go by Crown Brewery and you see the garage door open, you see the vats, go say hi to Steve.
That's where I work. Yep. It's amazing. I always tell people, it's amazing what we could do out of that little garage. We're doing about 750 barrels a year out of there. We have a really small staff. It's me and a part-time assistant doing everything. Uh-huh. We have a general manager to take care of all the paperwork and books and a few bartenders. So we have really low overhead, and we're just jamming out beer as quick as we can, and people
are
enjoying it.
How long have you been there for?
I've been there for over 11 years now.
Wow. And how long have you been in the whole brewery business, and why did you get into it?
I got my first assistant brewing position in 1989, days after turning 21, and I've been doing it full-time since 1995. So
you learned how to brew beer in the span of like a couple of days, apparently.
I was 21,
and then you got the.
I was an assistant apprentice for 6 years part-time, okay. and learning the ropes.
Greenhorn.
Yeah. I was working at the first brew pub in the suburbs of Chicago in my hometown of Berwyn, Illinois, a little place called the Weinkeller Brewery, owned by a hardcore German guy named Udo Hartung, who taught me a lot. I ended up working for him for 10 years, 6 years part-time assistant, and then 4 years full-time. And that's from there I've branched out and brewed away as far away as Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
And now I'm at home here in Northwest Indiana. All my friends and family are an hour's ride away in Illinois, and I love it here.
Well, you know what? Why don't you tout yourself? You've won some awards, haven't you?
A few big time ones. That we've done really well at the state fair, with something of upwards of like 50 plus medals at the state fair.
Wow.
But the Olympics of beer competition is something called the World Beer Cup, and it's held every 2 years, and they have a different city that hosts it every year. And I've been lucky enough to win a gold in that and a bronze in that as well. And that's,
so what were the award winners?
Our industrial porter won a bronze in 2010. And in 2014, we won a gold medal for our Crown Brown, which was our brown ale, entered as a English brown dark mild. So I could say I had the best dark mild in the entire world.
Now, how long has Crown Brewery been in existence?
This is our 12th year of operation.
You know what, Mr. Maloney?
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw the tower go up. I used to drive my kids to that Winfield Middle School. Not Winfield, Corner Wheeler Middle School, and I remember the Crown going up and that. And I never, you know, I'm from old school. We were talking about this. I remember Miller beer and Busch beer, and I'm thinking somebody's actually going to be brewing beer here. And I thought that was so like interesting to me. You know what I mean? And now you were ahead of the curve.
Well, we were. To put it in perspective, when Crown Brewing opened in 2008, we were the 15th brewery in Indiana. Now we're approaching 200. I want to say.
And I would say there's probably a lot of people that are emulating what you do, and you know you've kind of set a pace.
We were. It's funny to think that we're like the grandfathers now.
You are. But you're in like 37 locations. I mean, your beers are out there.
Our beers are out there. We have a couple distributors that carry our beer and maintain draft accounts for us. We do some limited amount of in-house bottling that we. Try and get all the local liquor stores. So we're making a footprint, but it's not big. We're in control of the beer. If something's outdated in the store, we're going to pull it. We're going to buy it back for them and not serve it. If it gets beyond a certain period of date that it hasn't sold,
send it to me. We'll make some beer batter.
There you go.
Really quick, if you want to call in and join the conversation, 219-769-9577. That's 219-769-9577. You're listening to Let's Eat right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Of course, with Chef Nick from Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, Steve from Howe Farms, and Steve from Crown Brewing as well. And I'm noticing across the board on my board here a couple of passes to the 11th annual Crown Beer Fest. And we'll be giving away We've got two tickets, so two people will call up and win. And Nick, you're thinking about doing a little trivia.
I mean,
and I've got some answers here on my cheat sheet as the guys were talking that we might be able to go ahead and throw out some questions for the folks who call in at 219-769-9577. But you have to have been listening to this show and
past shows.
And it's going to help if you're a regular listener of Let's Eat.
You know, people don't realize this. We've probably been on the air for 2 years.
Just about two years now. Yeah.
So if you want one of these tickets, Steve, explain the. Let me ask you before you explain it. Were you guys the ones that conceived the Brewfest?
Yeah. Right after we opened, they wanted to do a beer fest for the region. So we were one of the first ones to actually start a beer fest in the region. This is the 11th annual. This year it's held a little bit later than we normally do it. It's going to be June 27th.
I see that, yeah.
And this is going to be at Bulldog Park here in Crown Point.
So not at the fairgrounds
this year.
It's different.
Yeah, the previous 10 we've done at the fairgrounds. And Bulldog Park is such an amazing park that we want to give it a try. And you know, you're under a roof, and they have all the amenities, and you could fit a whole bunch of people in there.
You think you can fit?
Absolutely.
What I'm wondering. The only thing I would be worried about is the capacity thing, because you're talking the fairgrounds. I mean, it's huge. I mean, Bulldog Park is
the fairgrounds, we started in one building, and we branched off to two buildings and kind of fenced off the area between them and had food trucks in the middle and bands playing in the middle and, you know, people playing bags and things. Yeah. But we're going to be fine on space. Like that is a very big park if you haven't been there.
You know what? And it's going to really make Crown Point hop.
It sure is. That. No, it already has too. Yeah. I mean, I attended a few events there that were beer involved, obviously.
Right.
And they were well run. And one of the events we did was 97 degrees out.
Oh boy.
It wasn't bad because you're under a roof and there's a little cross breeze going. And, I mean, of course, it's hot and you're sweaty. But once that sunset, the nightlife kicked in and it was a time to be had.
Hey, Tom, is Tom Lounges, our Tom Lounges, is he involved with the Crown?
I believe he
Bulldog.
I believe he does. He might do sound there.
Music. He actually books the music guests for different events there. So we have some tie-in there as well.
That's all I'm getting to.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. So you have a question? Do you have a trivial question? And I'll have a trivial question.
I will put one together. If somebody calls 219-769-9577, I don't want to give it out now and then have them. Google it really quick and then call. You got to call 219-769-9577. You got to get the question right, though. Just because you call doesn't mean that you're going to be awarded one of the tickets. But, Steve, I'm looking June 27th, and, you know, that time of the year, we're going right into the holidays. Is it just because that's when it was available? Was there some sort of intention behind pushing it a little bit later?
I think time-wise, it was weather-related. We kept pushing it later and later, and we still had some weather issues at times.
Because it used to be in May.
Yes.
The first couple of years we were going, I remember
Mays where it was, you know, 49 for a high with a stiff wind, you know, and that was pushed off later, and I think it was the availability of the Bulldog Park as well.
Okay. And Crown Point also does, like, every week in June, they're doing something, like there's the Taste of Crown Point, and then they have
Farmer's Market.
Yeah,
the car shows.
So what's the face value of one of those tickets?
They're $40 general admission tickets.
Wow, that's a good gift there. So call in 769-9577, and this is my trivial question.
Okay.
So I've been on the air for a few years, and even before that, a little bit here and there. I've given out what high school I graduated from. Now, the high school's in Lake County, Indiana.
Oh, I know the answer. Can I win a ticket?
No.
Can I call up?
No. So if you call in and tell us what high school that Chef Nick graduated from, you get a ticket to the Crown, what it's called, Brewfest.
Crown Beer Fest.
So how did this work, Mr. Howe? Did they come to you to ask you to grow hops, or did you grow hops and go to them and say, hey, why don't you buy some from me?
I grew hops. Actually, the first couple years, they didn't use my hops. But I'm in one of those lucky spots where I get to develop relationships with people. It tends to happen over a beer. And over the years, you know, Steve and I would try things. You know, he would use some hops here and there, try something, and we would work on you know, how to be better. He would do quality control for me in numerous different ways on how we can make our product better. And as we grew and as we got better, they would buy a little more. And now we're developed into a spot that obviously I still have room to grow. I'm not saying it's top of the line yet, but it's to where they feel comfortable enough that they want to use us in every beer. So it's just been a huge focus on quality and the relationship side.
And the production side too. You know, when he first started, the plants were producing many cones and there wasn't a lot of poundage per acre of hops available to us and to whoever else he was selling hops to. But as those plants have matured, now he's at the point where he's producing a lot of poundage per acre.
So let's talk about poundage per acre really quick. What is poundage per acre? I think I know what it means. I've been to enough farmers markets and I kind of get it. So what is poundage per acre and what's a good marker for poundage per acre when it comes to hops?
It all depends on the hop, right, Steve?
I mean, area.
In the area, some hops aren't going to grow well and they're going to be very frail and small cones where you're not going to get a lot. Other ones are going to be big, plump, juicy hop cones where you're going to get a better yield.
Yeah, we're not in an ideal growing region, just based on our day length, our latitude. We're far south. Yakima Valley, Washington, is the cream of the crop for that. So if they are producing, let's say
90% of the country's hops
of the world,
really?
Of the world,
yeah.
One
and
region.
If, and if they – let's take a variety that they're getting 1,600 to 1,800 dry, not just cones, but wet – or dry pounds per acre, my goal is 1,000.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, and that being said, I mean, we're talking about, you know, they can only use a couple hundred, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm
– selling elsewhere, which is a good thing.
No, it's
right,
a wonderful thing. I have – like, the relationships are – everything, you know. I love my brewers, like, dude. He's my friend.
Steve and I have become great friends.
You know, we talk every 2 days and he's not the only brewer that I'm friends with, you know. It's I wish I could put into words how lucky I feel, actually.
Yeah.
So are you planning on devoting more land to hops, like really, or is it
so we are devoting our assets more to being more efficient, actually. So upgrading machinery on the quality side. How do we make our product even better? So we're spending all of our time and effort in that. I like our acreage because
– what do you sit on?
I like selling everything.
No, what do you sit on?
Oh, acreage?
Yes.
We currently only have 10 acres. We rent some
it
other –
feels larger.
We rent some more around us as well. So I think this year we'll be at, 20.
Yeah.
But that's not hops. Hops is a little over 2.
Now, we were talking off mic, and I didn't realize this. You're saying that you totally gave up growing any kind of like corn or soy. Well, or no, not growing, but feeding.
Yeah, we don't use corn and soy.
And why is that?
There's numerous health things that you can Google. I'm not going to get into that, but especially being in Indiana.
A lot of corn here.
A lot of corn.
Now with the Indiana Beach closing.
If you haven't noticed, I like being different than everybody, okay?
These farmers all just like turned off the radio.
But it's a quality thing too. Fat is healthy.
Right.
And it's in the right forms. And we want to produce the healthiest, highest quality fats in these animals as well. We also, without using corn and soy, we're not pushing them to their quickest growth. And so we can develop healthier animals. Mm-hmm. We can develop depth of flavor. And we can ultimately give them a wonderful life while they're on our farm.
Now, you also deal with chickens, right?
We do some. So we do pastured eggs. We do pastured,
You pasture.
Yeah.
No, you don't pasteurize them.
No. Pastured.
Yeah.
So they rotate on pasture, just like the pigs. So the egg birds, meat birds, they rotate as well.
Now, there's a difference between egg and meat, I guess. I always
they're
just
different breeds.
Okay.
You can eat anything, right?
That's a good point.
But growth is going to be different. Certain ones are going to grow different ways and produce things for different. Just like when you look at, cows. You notice the black and white ones are for milk, right?
Right, that's right.
Well, that's probably 80% of the beef you eat, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're eating it ground and it's put into the system.
Right.
But that's not what you're going to get your steaks from.
You have a unique niche, doing hops. I mean, No one. I don't know anyone around.
That's the worst margins on my farm. Okay. I just love the people I work with.
Okay, but you know what? You know what though? Do you ever think like, is there something, you know? Do you something out there that you want to be unique at? Like maybe growing truffles or doing something like, or mushrooms, or I mean, is there anything down the line that you're thinking, you know what? No one does this.
So
you know, maybe
there's
I
always something
grow
down
it.
The line. Anyone that knows me very long knows there's always something else coming. I always tell people just wait. I mean.
Maple water.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to announce, you know, maple, the different things that'll come in the next year.
You
know,
you don't want to tell us.
There's always something in the pipeline.
Come on,
Mr.
Howe.
Again, we are in fields and we're doing things in a different way that has allowed us to come into contact with many people that have become friends and that are allowing us to partner on all sorts of fun stuff. We're pretty excited for what's coming.
Really quick, 219-769-9577. 219-769-9577.
Oh, they should come.
They always end up calling at the end of the show, but we've only got two tickets to give away. So if you're waiting till the end of the show to call in, I can't guarantee that the tickets are going to be here. Call in right now, 219-769-9577.
We've got 20 minutes left, too. And all you got to tell us is what high school I graduated
from.
Can
we start guessing on this?
Absolutely. No. Yes, go ahead.
Steve and I don't have a clue. So
yeah, I don't have a clue.
All right. You don't. Well,
I grew up in Berwyn, Illinois, not
in
Northwest Indiana.
Yeah,
so
you probably had no sense.
We'll go Gavitt.
Maybe because I'm looking pretty scruffy. Is that why?
No. I grew up in Highland, right?
So, Steve, why don't you tell everyone some of the brews that you bring in?
Today I brought two different spectrums. I brought hoppy and I brought flavorful. Mm-hmm. On the flavorful side, I have a barrel-aged milk chocolate stout that I cold brewed bananas Foster coffee, and I added it to that barrel aged beer. So it's a wonderful coffee forward beer with subtle hints of banana in it. But then you're also getting the bourbon from the bourbon barrel that it was aged in. I also brought our French Toast Winter Warlock, which is
I'm sorry, yeah. I'm terrible at doing this job, but I always interrupt. But that I like that one.
Okay, that one.
My wife tells me that all the time.
It's on the sweeter side. It's our regular Winter Warlock, which is like a spiced brown ale. It's got maple syrup and honey in it. It's got cinnamon. It's got nutmeg and allspice and I added French toast flavoring to it. So literally, when you have a glass of this beer, it's like you are eating French toast.
I feel like I was in a syrup chucking competition.
Oh, I like
there you go.
Tom, what, you didn't like that one?
No, I did. I loved it. It was delicious. It was fantastic. It's, I think, everything I've ever wanted out of a French toast beer that I've never had before.
Something no one else is doing. I also brought our blueberry ale, which is our Maisie Cream Ale flavored with all natural blueberry flavoring. It's 99.9% natural flavoring. They add 1% to not so it wouldn't spoil. And then the hoppy side, I went with a few of our mainstays, our Special Forces IPA, which feature a large amount of Steve Howe Farms hops. I also have our Till Death Do Us Part IPA, which is one of the really more popular ones that we do, danky and delicious and citrusy. And then I also have one called Nuclear Possum Pale Ale, which is a blend
of... Not found on the side of the road at all.
No. Not Dead Possum, but Nuclear Possum. Just a silly name.
Yeah.
And this was kind of like what I called a kitchen sink hop beer. I had a bunch of hops left over at the end of the year, and I needed to use them up before they got too old, and I threw them all into a pale ale recipe, and it turned out...
It's called soup du jour.
super delicious.
Who do we got on the line, Tom?
All right, Chef Nick, we've got Rachel Dawson calling in. Rachel, where are you calling in from today?
Hi, I'm from Valpo.
Rachel from Valpo. Okay, Nick, the question for Rachel to win one of the pairs of tickets, or one of the tickets, rather, to the Crown Beer Fest
is, you can guess what high school I graduated from, and if you don't know that, I think Tom might have a question.
I have a question as well, so if you don't get the where Chef Nick graduated from, do you have a guess?
I think it's Munster.
Nah.
No, it's not Munster.
No.
It's not Munster. You were close, though. Anybody else listening out there, you were close. Now, Rachel, I'm taking a look at some of the facts that the guys gave us today for the show.
Right.
When did Crown Brewing open up?
I don't know.
There are a dozen good answers here.
There's like probably 12 if you were in 2020, so just go backwards 12 steps.
2002.
No! I'm sorry, Rachel.
You know what? Rachel, for...
2008.
2008, yes!
Yeah, I heard it!
Yay! All right, Rachel, we're going to go ahead and we've got your contact info, and we're gonna set off one of these tickets off to the side for you.
Rachel, you got a question for any of these
guys?
Oh,
I love Crown Brewing, and I haven't been in a hot minute, but I love to sit outside on that patio and enjoy some beer and some pizza, and it's just a lovely little place.
Yep, and it's a dog-friendly patio, too.
That's cool.
I love that so much. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Good.
All right,
good.
Thanks, Rachel.
Hope you got a guest to take with you.
Save the date on your calendar for
love it.
There you go, June 27th. Yep.
Yes.
All right.
And beautiful Crown Point.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Rachel.
Well, we got one more ticket left, Tom.
We do. We've got about 18 minutes left in the show, Nick.
And the question is, what high school I graduated from?
And then if you get that one wrong.
1980.
As opposed to 2008 when Crown Brewing opened up. So I got a couple more factoids still on the list of information that the guys gave us. So if you can't guess where Chef Nick graduated from, I got another backup question for you.
Do you have clues or anything you can give us? I want to play this game.
You want... Well, let me ask you this. Let's get back to the serious stuff here. What has changed in your business, Hal? I mean, from when you first started to now, what have you learned?
I learned that I'm dumber every single day.
Oh, God.
Every day I learn something new, and I'm like, wow, the stuff I knew yesterday was worthless.
You listen to public radio, don't you? See? I knew it.
No, I'm constantly learning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to get better.
Yeah. How about you, Steve?
Yeah,
I mean, you've been doing this your whole life. Now, me as a cook, I mean, there is a big difference how I look at things when I first started to what I do now. Even from when I first started my business 8 years ago to how I am now.
Yeah.
Is there anything that has changed with you?
Not too much, but I love to be challenged. I love to be thrown a new piece of equipment to figure out. I love to figure out the next thing of how we're going to do something. So I'm the kind of brewer that wants to be challenged constantly.
So with some of those challenges, I mean, you talked about some of the beers, you know, the kitchen sink hops and the French toast beer, which phenomenal, by the way.
A challenge was thrown at me this year. We're going to, by before the end of the year, we're going to do a hard seltzer.
Okay.
Yeah, so I will figure it out. I'm going to make one that's going to be delicious.
Is that kind of like taking an alcoholic version of like LaCroix or bubbly kind of a thing?
Yeah. Is that what's trending now?
Yeah, very much so. That's a hot item right now.
What would the flavor profile be of that? I mean,
I feel
it like
it's a Zima.
Well, it's carbonated water and alcohol, and then you add it's fruit flavors,
isn't
basically.
Isn't that a gin and tonic?
Which are delicious.
They are.
Yeah.
If you've got limes at the farm, I'm coming over,
Steve. So Crown Brewing will do our version of one.
Okay. Well, you guys also do soda pop.
Absolutely. I love doing our sodas. I meant to bring some today, and I didn't. I apologize to the one fellow here who doesn't drink alcohol. We have a mainstay root beer, which is a recipe I've perfected over the years. And I haven't changed anything on that recipe in about the last 15 years just because I nailed it. And I'm like, this is it. This is the best root beer around. So we have that on tap all the time at Crown Brewing. And I usually do a rotating seasonal. I remember one time I came here, I think, with four different sodas.
Dreamsicle, the orange pop,
that was so good.
Well, you do the ginger, you actually grind your
ginger. We're using the La Machine from the 70s, and we're pulverizing.
I remember the La Machine.
Sure. We're pulverizing ginger, and we're boiling it, and we're adding, we're adding hibiscus, and we're adding a little... a couple other secret
ingredients. You ever think about hop pop?
Hop pop.
Hop pop. Like putting pop?
No, or hops in pop?
Hops in a pop. Hops in a pop, like a hoppy... Sure.
Or is that just non-alcoholic beer?
Well, non-alcoholic beer is best left to the professionals. I want to make alcohol. You know? I don't want to...
I want you to make out.
Yeah.
Well, we want you to call in 769-9577 and join the conversation. And Steve from Crown Brewery brought in a ticket to the Crown Brew Fest.
We got one more ticket.
And you just got to answer a question. What year did Chef Nick, what high school did Chef Nick graduate from?
What year did Chef Nick open?
Yeah. And I graduated in 1980. And what high school did I graduate from? And you get a ticket. Okay. And if you can't get that, then Tom's probably got a softball.
Munster's been guest already.
Is it the only high school in that town?
Gavitt has also guest.
It is the only high school in that town.
It is not the only high school in that town.
Yeah, the high school. No. Oh, you're right. It is not
the only high school in that town.
You're right. It is not the only
high school. In 1980, was it the only high school?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It's always been like that.
All right, now I have a guess.
No, we can't do that. We'll wait to the end of the show. So, Steve, or Mr. Howe,
back to my teaching days right there. Thanks.
I know you're going through all that because you know all the schools. Out on your farm, you're way out there, since you're, GMO, no GMOs, what do you do to protect those hops? I mean, are they something that bugs are attracted to?
So the hops aren't non-GMO or anything. They are non-GMO, so anything we eat is different than the hops. So the hops, they have to be sprayed. So we have to use fungicides and stuff. Now, our pesticides are organic pesticides and everything. We do that because we have food and we have bees and we have everything else there on the farm. But there has to be, we have to worry about mildew all the time.
Hops are very finicky to grow. Extremely. And Steve will tell you.
Is there a lot of moisture in them?
There's a lot of moisture in our climate.
They need well-drained soil or else they get fungus. The pests are a constant issue.
But I'm hearing this and I'm thinking Washington. Doesn't it rain all the time
in
Washington?
So in this one valley – in Washington.
Yeah. The Yakima Valley.
It's surrounded by snow-covered mountains that give them irrigation.
Yeah.
And it's a desert in the middle.
Interesting.
So you have sandy soil, well-drained soil.
Okay.
So how long does it take for the hops to mature, ready for picking?
So we break ground, let's say, end of March, early April. We kind of cut everything back, so it's all coming up at the same time. And we train them in late May. So every single plant, you have to put a string in the ground from the top of the trellis. Mm-hmm. It's like a vineyard, just 20 feet in the air. You have to put a string into the ground. They climb up it with your help.
Very labor intensive.
Yeah, I have to train everyone by hand, so I have a few thousand.
So you weave them, sort of.
Yeah.
Like rose bushes. My parents used to do that. They kind of weaved them.
Yeah, and then different varieties will mature at different points.
Hand-picked?
No.
Oh, good.
No. No, we have
Steve has upgraded his harvester this year.
Yeah, this is so we had a small harvester, and this year we went to the big one, which will allow us to produce a better product and a quicker amount of time.
There you go.
Less loss.
You dry them? Do you dry them in your barn?
We have a dryer that I developed, and we dry them. So we go plant to pellet within 24 hours. So we can get the dried pellets that normally people brew with within 24 hours, where when you're looking out west, they put them into bales and they do that months later.
Yeah.
So we can do that with, as fresh as you can get.
You're getting less loss of your essential oils and resins.
Oxidation.
The hops aren't going to oxidize. It's just a way more fresher product and for
which has its challenges because it is different.
And the way he's packaging his nitrogen vacuumed Mylar bags and he's storing them cold. So the hops that we're getting from Howe Farms are going to be a superior quality and local compared to what we're getting from the Pacific Northwest. It's just going to be a fresher product. It's going to and it's local.
Why wouldn't you get it local?
Yes.
Local's only as good if it's – to me, it's got to be as good, if not better, though.
Oh, it's fresher.
It has to be better.
Yeah.
You have to hit the quality side.
I guess this is a question that comes up all the time. My wife and I, gluten-free, organic at home. Mm-hmm. Ideally, we are getting as local as possible. We've done CSAs, wink, nudge in the past. We go to the farmers markets all the time. What defines local? Is something coming from Bloomington or Indianapolis local? Is something maybe coming from Milwaukee local, where it's close?
I think everyone has its own. Everyone has their own definition.
Yeah, I think it depends on the product.
Depends on the product too.
I think it's a time travel. I think something that takes a day to get there is not local. I think it's something that you can go and get that day and bring it to you and use is local.
I always lean towards I want local because I want the money to stay here.
That's a good
You know, I want it to benefit all of us. But at the same time, why am I going to go spend my money locally if it's an inferior product?
Right.
So I want to be spending my dollars on people that I know are working towards making a higher quality product as well. And I'm not saying it's there yet. Like I'm telling you, I don't think I'm always there, but I'm working every day to get better, to have a higher quality product. And I think that's important.
I think the carbon footprint is important too. If you're talking a day travel, they're going to have to ship that via, you know, truck, train, or plane, and to get to you, where if you're getting something that's down the block or within a community or two away, there's that much less travel and you know, internal combustion engine being used.
Tom touched on a point, gluten-free. Do you guys do any kind of gluten-free beers?
We have not. There's such a small market for that we really haven't seen the need, and there's really good gluten-free products on the market beer-wise. Yeah, if you look at the amount of population that's actually celiac or whatever, and it's such a small percentage. We're not going to dedicate a whole batch of beer to market to that small amount of people. But like I said, there are numerous other people that are doing that, and some of those products are really good. Like I've tried a bunch of different ones, and you can barely tell it's not, you know.
So there is no difference in the.
It's pretty good. They're very close. It's
really?
And there's some really good non-alcohol beers out now too.
Hops though are gluten free. You know.
There you go. Good to know. I'll munch on those in the summer.
So, Tom, we got about 9 minutes left, and we got one ticket sitting there. It's a $40 ticket to the Crown Brew Fest over at Bulldog Park. Crown Brewery is offering it out to you. All you got to do is give us a call, answer a question.
June 27th is going to be the kickoff of a wonderful highlight of summer week. You know, you got 4th of July the week after, and a lot of people have time off.
I can see, like, you know, that's packed, and that's going to spill out into the square. And it's just going to be a buzz. That place, that whole square is just going to be. I wish I had a restaurant there that weekend.
All right. Phone number 219-769-9577. 219-769-9577. You got to call and you got to let us know where Chef Nick graduated from in 1980.
Yes.
A couple of hints already. It is not the only high school in that town, city, slash location, and it also was not the only high school in the town, city, slash location when you graduated in 1980.
Okay, so I'll give one more little caveat.
One more hint. Okay.
They did win state in football.
They have won state in football. Okay, so that's only a couple of schools here in Northwest Indiana. I guess maybe several, actually, if you go through the years. But
I think I got a town.
Well, you know what, Nick? Where did you grow up? When you're a kid, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Gary.
Grew up in Gary. Okay, there you go. There's another hint. There's another hint. Grew up in Gary.
So, Steve, now, when I looked on your website, which was a very – and so is Crown Brewery's website. You guys have great websites. I noticed that you have, like, bacon or pork belly and all – who does your process? Are you back there butchering?
No. So, no, we're not allowed to do that. We have to go through – there has to be inspection points at every point. So, actually, all of that is changing here in, you know, April or May. This spring, we will have it'll all be coming from somewhere new. So,
everything's
changing this year. Yeah.
So, are you going to be in any markets? Any farm? Do you do any farm?
We don't touch farmers markets.
How about you, Steve? Do you guys go to any farmers markets?
No, we haven't. But I do believe that they have passed a law in Indiana that. We are able to sell our product at farmers markets because it's considered.
There's a Crown Point farmers market every Saturday, Steve. Saturday.
We have such a small staff that, you know, it's literally me, a part-time assistant, a general manager, and a handful of bartenders.
I know a guy who's going to work for really cheap for you Saturday mornings.
We pay in beer.
Pay in beer tabs.
No, we got away from that really early. We want people at the farm.
Right.
And I think that that's for it. Us too, we want people at the brewery.
Right.
You know, if there's a farmer's market a half a block away, if they want our beer, they know where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Well, or you guys have beer to go.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Explain how that works.
Well, we have what's called growlers, which are 64-ounce containers that we fill right from the tap, and then they heat shrink those and you send them home. We also have howlers, which are half growlers, which are 32 ounce filled from the tap. We also do 22 ounce bottles that we have a little small little bottling machine in the back that we bottle most of our products. We actually have a handwritten label for some of our specialties and one-offs that we do, so we can do a limited amount of bottling and not make a specialized label for it, but we're actually writing on the label what it is, and we number them. And we also, a few times a year, we get a mobile canner in, and they bring a canning line, and we hook up to one of our tanks, and we drain our tank through the canner, and we'll get about 150, 160 cases of 12-ounce cans that way.
But in the retail settings, they're all bottles?
Yeah, for the most part, all the liquor stores that you'll see in the area that we're at is going to be 22-ounce bottle format.
And do you do that on premise? Or?
Yeah, we bottle on premise, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
This is kind of embarrassing. There's 4 minutes left and no one wants to call in and talk to us. Oh, there's a ticket sitting here and no one's calling in.
I think Steve wants to guess, Nick, where you went to high school.
Steve, where did I go to high school?
I'm going to Andrean.
Nope.
Or Merivale.
It's not Andrean. It's Merivale.
I'm a pirate.
Yarr.
And we all right. We did.
I still got a couple of facts.
I had to go back to Andrean, though.
Huh?
When you said you grew up in Gary, I had to go to Andrean.
I grew up in Gary, then we moved to Merivale. Steve, I lost my place here.
Really quick, I still got questions, though. So if you want to win the ticket, 219-769-9577, 219-769-9577. But you have to have been listening to the show because the question is going to go from way back at the beginning of the conversation. So,
Steve, just you got to admit it here. Just thank people, tell them what's on your mind and what's going on in the future.
Well, you know, Crown Brewing's been around for 12 years. We're here to stay. We're going to be around for a long time and making great beer. My motto has always been anybody who walks through the door is going to find something to drink there. Whether you're looking for something light and drinkable or something barrel-aged and strong or something super hoppy, you're going
to
find it there.
Or something to go with the vanilla ice cream.
Something to go with your vanilla ice cream. Also, the dude.
Now, you have food there.
We're attached to Carriage Corp Pizzeria, which is a full-service restaurant. We're two separate businesses but operate as one. You drink our beer on their side, you eat their food on our side, and it works out. It's a great working relationship.
Steve Howe, you ever think about doing a U-pick?
In what?
In hops.
In hops? Absolutely not. No, there are certain things that we would do a U-pick in, from berries to flowers. But in general, you know, we pick for our store. That way everything's as fresh as possible. People come there and want to do a tour and everything, but there's still a convenience factor. In general, most people want to be able to grab something, you know, in a couple minutes, maybe look at one or two things and go. But doing their own work has most people aren't really wanting to very often.
Who do you want to thank here in the last minute here?
Everybody. I mean, Steve, number one, he's been absolutely wonderful from day one. But everyone at Crown, the Bryan family, gosh, I am so grateful for everyone.
Give a shout out to your kids and everybody.
Easton and Addison. My wife, Jen, they're wonderful. They support everything.
Tell everyone at your family hello.
Oh, Amy and Stevie and Maisie, love you guys. They're well into Illinois by now.
What are they doing in Illinois?
Visiting.
Oh, just visiting? Yeah. Well, Tom, an end to another exciting hour here.
Nick, we got to go, unfortunately.
And we got one ticket sitting here.
We got like 60 seconds left, 219. Oh, we got a phone call. All right, I'm putting you through live. And
Hurry up.
Who are we talking to?
Horseman.
No, we've already guessed it was Merivale. All right, really quick. Count on one hand, just one hand, how many types of hops does Howe Farms grow?
Five.
There you go.
Bingo.
And who we got on the line?
Who is this?
This is Mike.
All right, Mike, I am going to put you back
from?
On.
Where are you from real quick?
Pardon me?
Where are you from?
Crown Point.
Okay, Mike from Crown Point.
All right, Mike from Crown Point. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Mike from Crown Point got it. So we're 30 seconds left. I want to thank both Steve from Crown Brewery, Steve from Howe Farms for joining us here on Let's Eat. Thank you, Tom Maloney, for filling in for Sharon Jackson. I want to thank all the listeners out there. Thanks for calling in. Have a great, safe weekend. Yasu!